It's about the Lord sending people into your midst that have a specific word for a specific time, the specific personality. Pastor Vaughn is one of my dearest friends. We used to come and preach at each other's churches years ago. We were just in Zambia together this last year with a very nice pastor's conference. A little bit about me, I got born at a drug party in 19, born again at a drug party in 1973. I ran with bad people and got saved. Amen. That's all of that. How's that? Okay. I got filled with the Holy Ghost the next day, baptized in water the next day, and out on the street the next night, and I've never quit. That was 37 years ago, okay? I've stood on six continents and heralded the gospel all through the Islamic nations. Some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen have been in the Islamic nations. God's doing a wonderful work. We lived in Brazil, as Wendy said. We lived in Belize, had a wonderful time, and I took off. I purposed myself. I determined myself, and I never looked back. I've tried a couple times, but Jesus is so faithful, He won't let me. Amen? Yes. And how many of you have tried to quit? Did it work? Well, it doesn't work for us either. And the same afflictions are accomplished in us that are accomplished in you. Nothing special about any preacher on the face of the earth. He's just been divinely ordained to speak and to be a living witness in a particular flow for a particular time. An apostle has an apostolic heart. God gave it to him. He speaks out of that heart, and that's what makes him an apostle. Not you naming somebody an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or pastor or teacher. I get called all kind of things. Some are very nice and some are not. Amen? I supervise. I rule over a group of 1,500 leaders and Africa, and that doesn't include some of the other places we're going. I'm the international director of the Rural Pastors Network. So I need prayer because I'm so far out on the water, I can't even think about it. If I start thinking about everything I have to do and everything I have to be and all the people I have to see and all the meetings I have to have and all the prayers I need to pray and all of the things I need to do, it just drives me nuts. So we keep all those things over on the Lord. We take it a day at a time. Step by step, faith by faith, from glory to glory, and we don't look back. You got it? Okay. Jesus, we just thank you for your presence this morning. You are so wonderfully here. Thank you for this church and for the things they're going through, Lord. I don't know a lot about it other than what I sense in the Spirit, but Jesus, I tell you, this is a great time for transition. It's a great time for regrouping and refounding and receiving that fresh anointing that always provokes change. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray this morning that you would manifest yourself in a very special way in teaching, in ministry, however you would choose, Lord, that we're in your hand and the sheep of your pasture. And I would pray a blessing upon the ears of everybody that's here this morning, that they hear with their spirit, not just with their head, that it produces a change. Not one single person leaves this church the way they came, that we all are confronted and changed and altered. For Father, you are so wonderful. You love us too much to leave us alone. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you a little acronym, F-A-I-T-H. I'm going to preach in and around it a little bit. I'm going to run through it pretty quick. Our conferences run for 3 to 4 days, 3 to 4 to 5 meetings a day, 2 hours to 3 hours a meeting. Sometimes I'm the only preacher. So, a 50-minute message for me is a challenge, okay? I'm not your best Sunday morning preacher because I have too much to say. But this is my first time with you in this building, and I just want to run through some things with you this morning. Vaughn asked me to come and talk and tell you some stories that we've experienced and talk to you about faith. So I'm going to pass over some of the other things I would normally lay in your lap, and we're going to obey our friend, pastor, and prophet. Is that all right with you? Faith, F, find a promise. We're going to do an acronym, F-A-I-T-H. This only works in English, but I've preached it on six continents. We have ways to make things work. Amen? F-A, find a promise. 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. I'm going to run through this, and you can get the tape and break it down. Okay, are you recording this today?
Yeah.
Okay. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Find a promise. I'm going to go over these again a little bit and tell you some stories as we go. But I want you to have something you can take home and study and read. And this meeting not just become a another preacher that came in, and you get the tape and put it in a box in your closet, and 10 years from now you throw it away because you don't have a clue who preached that tape, okay? I want something to go into you today. F-A, ask. Find a promise, number one. Number F, letter F, find a promise. Number two, ask. If you do not ask, you do not receive, so be bold. Ask. John 16, 23 and 24. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. Ask. You have not because you... Thank you. You ask not. You ask and receive. Why? Because you want to consume it on your lust. Mm. Money is a tool.
That's right.
Not a toy.
That's right.
Hello?
Amen.
Now, as you grow and you prove faithful and you stand on the promises, Jesus loves you to have some toys. I have a few of my own, okay? Jesus loves to bless you.
That's right.
He wants you to prosper, but He wants you to be kingdom-minded.
That's right.
A kingdom-minded person has a worldview that's tilted towards kingdom, not self-exaltation. Hello? Okay, when you're tilted towards the kingdom and your worldview is kingdom and you are loving and living with eternity in your heart and you are living for the purpose of establishing kingdom in your life and your neighbors and everything else, you can ask what you will and it will be done for you. Because you're not asking amiss to consume it on your lust. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay, I told you I was going to run through this pretty quick. F-A, find a promise, ask I, ignore the circumstances. What do you see when you look at your life? What do you see? Welcome to the body of Christ, by the way. You did good. Amen. I've seen a lot of people testify for the first time, and you did well, believe me. You didn't cry. You spoke right out. It was wonderful, okay? First time I was asked to preach, I was about 2 months old in the Lord. I was asked to testify. I spoke for 45 minutes. My knees were knocking. My teeth were chattering. I couldn't tell you a word I said, but evidently they liked it. They asked me back. Ignore the circumstances. Romans 4:16-22. If you have your face upon your circumstances, and you are leaning to your circumstances for joy, for peace, for fulfillment, if you are moved by what makes you happy or unhappy, you will never understand the power of joy, because joy has nothing to do with circumstances.
Right.
It has everything to do with expectation. For the joy set before Him, He endured. The Bible says, for the joy, the hope, the life set before Him, He endured. As Christ hung on the cross on the north end of Jerusalem, looking south, the eastern mountain would have been to His left. He would have looked right across the corner of the ancient city of Jerusalem as He hung, spending His soul and His life and His blood for us, beholding the place of His return. The first place, Zechariah says, the feet of the Lord will land is on the hill east of Jerusalem. So as He hung on the north, looking south and east, He was beholding the place of His return. And in Psalm, 16 and Acts 2, Peter quotes and David writes, I beheld the Lord before me at all times. His face was at my right hand that I might not be moved. He was beholding His end. His end wasn't the cross. The cross was a beginning. The cross was a birthing. The cross was the climax of the ages, the climax of history, the climax of the times that were. And then those times were over. It was finished.
Amen.
And upon the foundation of that sacrifice and that resurrection, you yourself are raised up together with Him and have been made to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And God is from henceforth expecting until His enemies be made His footstool. What is expectation? Expectation is your hope. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. I have built within my heart... Take a breath. I have built it within my heart an expectation. I do not care what life looks like. I do not care what other men do. I do not care what they do not do. I do not care what they say. I do not care what they think, whether they sin, whether they backslide. I have an expectation to finish my race, to finish my course, to stand at the end of my life, receive a smile and a well done. That is my expectation. Because I have that expectation, we can live anywhere, eat anything, move anywhere, grow anywhere, minister to anybody under any situation, move from continent to continent with my family, because I expect something good to happen. And upon the foundation of that expectation, not looking at what I see, but at the things I see in my heart, based upon that expectation, I move and I live and I breathe and I have my being in Him, and I don't sweat the rest of it.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
Because I'm expecting to wind up where He sent me. I don't know where that is yet. Six continents haven't satisfied my thirst for evangelism and souls and sons and mentoring and prophecy and apostolic work. I'm crazy for Jesus. How about you? I'm nuts. I'm a dangerous man. You hang around me, I'll recruit you. I'm an apostolic recruiter. I'll have you in the field so fast it'll make your head swim. You'll be traveling with Brother Jeff out in the wilds, going from village to village. Why? Because we see something others don't see. We see life through the eyes of God, not through the eyes of economics, presidential debates, or anything else like that. Presidents are going to come and go. Presidents are going to die. You are going to come and go. Things are going to change, and they're not always going to be the way you want them to be. Things are not always going to work out the way you want them to work out. And you are going to have to stand fast on what you know the Lord is saying to you and to the earth through the Scripture, and just simply rule there.
Amen.
Well, what if someone dies? Rule there. Death happens every day. Rule it. Learn to ruin a perfectly good funeral. Learn to ruin a perfectly good funeral. While everybody else mourns and weeps and wails, smile and have hope and expectation in your heart, because that isn't the end of the man. Our wonderful brother in India is with Jesus. That's not a tragedy. Jesus wasn't surprised when He died. He's not surprised at the reward. We were surprised. And if we have the mind of God, then we have to rest, relax, and trust based upon our expectation. That brother and I are going to serve God together for eternity, stand with God together for eternity. We are going to know one another for eternity, and the only thing that's been lost is our worldly fellowship.
Amen.
And I'm going to miss Him like I miss everybody else in my life that passes on before me. I'm a little jealous, actually. Heaven's not a bad place to go. Economics collapse. I've prayed over empty tables myself. I have four children. I understand. Ignore the circumstances. Faith is greater than what you see. Unless you see with your heart, then faith cooperates with what you see. What do you see? What you see in here, Ephesians 1, what, 17? The eyes of the heart. Excuse me. I'm rambling when I should be preaching. The eyes of the heart have to see something that the other world that others don't see. Ignore the circumstances. One of my little babies, my fourth son. I have four grown sons. They're wonderful. I have nine grandchildren with another on the way. Hallelujah. I look pretty good for an old fellow. I'm only 57, so don't throw stones, okay? I started young. You don't need to do that. Amen. My last little son was born into our family 29 years ago in December last. And I had no expectation that there would be problems. I had no understanding that there would be problems. The birth was great. The pregnancy was wonderful. It was the best we ever had out of four. And we were standing out there. We were waiting on the doctors to come out and congratulate us. I like you. We're waiting on the doctors to come out and congratulate us. And the doctor came out and said, "Mr. Martin." I said, "Yes." He said, "You have a son, but there's been complications." Make a very long story short, my little boy was born with a thing called arthrogryposis. That's a 1 in 100 million at the time. Now it's about 1 in 1 million, 1 in 5 million. So it's increasing in the earth. It's a horrible thing, a debilitating thing that deforms your body. Normally, the children born with arthrogryposis are mentally retarded along the line of a vegetable. They cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot walk, they cannot move. Their muscles are disappearing right after they're born, and it's debilitating. They all go away, and they live about 5 days, sometimes six. If they do live at all, they're under care the rest of their life in a government hospital somewhere. They're without hope. How many of you know we don't believe that? How many of you know we don't believe that? Did I cry? Uh-huh. Did it rattle me? Uh-huh. Did it shake me off my faith? Uh-uh. Because I have a built-in expectation that things are going to go my way, because I see that in the Scripture, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And God delights in my way. Even if I fall, I'll not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds me with His hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Or his seed beg bread. Hallelujah. Did I feel like a man of faith at the time? Uh-uh. Did I feel like sin warmed over on a popsicle stick? Uh-huh. Did I wreck myself asking questions? Uh-huh. What did I do to deserve this? Did I do anything to do that? All of the normal things people think. Sure, but you can't accept that as the final verdict or even an option. It's not about me. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
It's about redemption. Besides, if you have no test, you have no testimony. You want a money, you have to have a test. Testimony, amen? You have to be a conqueror. You have to get over something if you're going to call yourself a conqueror. We can dance up here all night long, spin, shout, the glory will fall. We can lay on the floor, laugh, scream, shout, have visions and prophesy over each other. And I love it. It's wonderful. But if you don't get up and go out of these doors, out into the world with the same expectation you live with in here, you need help. You need prayer because your faith is shaken. Because the earth is looking for a group of people that aren't shaken by what's going on.
Amen.
God has a solution for everything going on in your life, in the political world and everything else. We just have to find it. You're not going to find it striving and struggling. You find it resting and going to the Scripture. F, find a promise. What does the Bible say? So I told the doctor, he gave us all the bad news. My wife and I told the doctor, we appreciate your professionalism. We know you're telling us exactly what you believe to be true based upon your experience, your education, and the facts. Thank you. You know, the doctor's not your enemy. He's not the devil lying to you. He's just a guy telling you what the world says.
Amen.
You have to see with different eyes. What do you see? I looked at my baby, and I saw a perfect baby. Right in here. Looking not at those things that are seen, but at those things that are unseen. For the invisible things are eternal. God doesn't see my little boy that way. Now he's 29 years old. He defied every law. He defied every expectation the world put on him. He lived. He moved. He's brilliant. He's a genius. He's an IT guy. He's internet out at the base. He's traveled with us all over the world. He preaches. He lays his feet on the sick and the sick recover because he can't use his arms. He walked when he wasn't supposed to walk. He sat up when he wasn't supposed to sit up. And he did things nobody's supposed to do. Is he perfect in his body yet? I see him that way. Do you? What do you see? Oh, brother, let me pray for your baby. You keep your human sympathy prayers to yourself. Thank you. You want to see him healed and agree with me? Put your hands on him. Now he's 29 and he doesn't let anybody pray for him because he believes he's healed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He believes he's healed. Why? Why? Because of his experience? Well, yeah, partially, sure. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience works experience. Experience worketh hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in your heart. When you've been tested and you've proven the Word of God and you've seen it come to pass, it gives you a foundation for the expectation. Next time something comes up, you have experience.
Amen.
And that experience becomes the basis of your hope, which is the foundation of your faith, so that once you know what you believe, you can act that way. Hello? You with me? You with me? Isaac learned to swim in a black water third world jungle river in Belize, Central America. We lived down there with the Quechua Indians with no roads, no electricity, no water, no toilets. We had to do it all. We were the first to build a toilet in the village. Stairs, instead of climbing up a hatched marked tree and breaking my American neck, we built the water towers and showed them how to run water downhill. If they stop buying rum, they can afford PVC pipe, and we showed them how to use that and how to not buy their cigarettes and buy tin instead, and we showed them how to build a water catch system, and they were amazed. We turned on the water, and they said, but brother, you have electricity generated. I said, let me turn the generator off. So you go downstairs, turn the generator off, and they're amazed that water runs downhill. It has nothing to do with generators. Now they're all solar-powered. Now they're all... Well, I won't talk about them. I lose my time. But I tell you what, man, God has an expectation. And he's looking for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And we come into that by faith in Jesus Christ. Make ourselves part of that. Learn to walk the way he walks, think the way he thinks, believe the way he believes. And you can only do that in the middle of the earth. You can't go to heaven and do that. You can't stay in your home and do that. You have to live. The just shall live by their faith. Habakkuk 2:4, the first time it's mentioned. The just shall live by their faith. Hast thou faith? Amen. Have it before thyself and God. You have to be responsible for your life, what you believe, what you do. Faith is a walk. Faith is a smile. Faith is how you hear. Faith is how you see. Faith is how you expect. Faith is how you study. Faith is how you learn. All based on the expectation that my God started me, my God will finish me. Philippians 1:6. This is my confidence. He who hath begun a good thing in you shall perform it. Yes. When? How long? Until the day you stumble? No. Until the day you give up? No. Until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, just because you give up, Jesus doesn't. What do you see? What you see will determine what you do. Think about that with me now. Your worldview will determine how you act in the world. If you're expecting the, you know, economical collapse, you'll have it. We've just decided not to participate in this one. I can't afford to participate in this one. Do I have to deal with the circumstances? Sure, you ought to live by faith and live on the mission field while the entire world is losing money. I have to believe that you guys will hear God and give. I have to believe my supporters will stay faithful every month. And you know, I can't get up in the morning and say, in Jesus' name they're going to give, in Jesus' name they're going to give, in Jesus' name they're going to give. I'm too busy. I got to go about my business.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And it's built upon the expectation in my heart. I got to get up in the morning and move.
Amen.
Faith without works is dead, being alone. What happened to my little boy? My wife got wisdom. And she knew exactly what to do. And Jesus told me to be quiet and submit to my wife. Now, I don't know what that does to your theology. I don't care. I'm just telling you what Jesus told my wife. I said, yes, sir. And she knew exactly what to do. And she worked him through programs, refused medical. We refused to go the medical route because they're the ones that cripple. They're the ones that do the damage. We prove that. Over the years, through doctors, we prove that the only reason they're retarded is because they have been bound up, operated on, separated, isolated, and cast off, basically. They're casted from feet to hands. They're operated on. They can't move anything. They want them to look better, socially acceptable. Everything you learn 95%, I believe, of everything you learn before you're five. Your personality is established up to about 85% by the time you're five. And when you cast a child and lay him in a crib and he can't move and he can't explore, they learn through motor skill exploration. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good. Sometimes the doctors will save your life. Sometimes they'll take your life. And I love doctors. I work with them all the time. They're just like you. They only know what they've been taught. Amen. Remember, they're not the devil. So if you get a bad report and blame it on the doctor, go to Jesus, find a promise, ask, and ignore the circumstances. Amen? So we ignored it, and we treated him like our other children, spanked him, corrected him, and expected things of him socially, took him everywhere we went, carried him on my shoulders. He's peed on me more than once. It's all right. Father carries you on his shoulders, and you've peed on him more than once. Amen? God changes your diapers. Don't be ashamed to change your babies. Take that into the spirit. And don't be afraid of one another when you have a problem. Learn to work with one another. Be patient with one another. Tender-hearted, kind, loving one another. Forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. Amen? As God in Christ forgave you. You having fun? Okay, I'm just going to keep rambling. Is that all right? Okay, what's the greatest miracle you've ever seen? My greatest miracle was, first of all, my son. Now, I've seen the dead raised on a number of occasions. I don't consider that the greatest miracle I've ever seen. God gives life to the dead. It's what he does. You have nothing to do with it except pray. Trust me. There's no five steps to raise the dead that bring results. You're not going to go to a Bible college. I teach in them. I have a doctorate. You're not going to go to a Bible college and hear how to raise the dead. You're just going to have to live by faith. My son was awesome, but he didn't die. He's alive today. Oh, I was going to tell you about him learning to swim, then we'll talk about the other. Don't let me forget. I'm going to hold you personally responsible for me not losing my track, okay? Okay. He could walk when we took him. He'd learned to walk. He taught himself to walk. And we took him. We bought him this little life vest because we knew he'd be living on the river. We built a barge out off the side so we could bathe. That's the only bath and shower we had was the river when we went. We had to build one. So every afternoon, you're down at the river on this barge we built, bathing and playing and praising God in a river you don't even know what's in. You're just there, you know. You do what you have to do. Faith acts. Amen. My God. And when is this service over? Can I ask? All right. I teach 9 hours, 10 hours at a time, so don't tell me when I get done, all right? Vaughn will wring my neck, okay? And y'all will leave before the offering, so amen. Anyway, whew, just let the boy preach. Okay. We bought him this little I'm telling you the truth with these stories. I really lie not. We tied a rope around the life vest, tied the end of the rope around a tree, and threw him off the barge into the water. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Patrolling for alligators. Shut up." So he... Honest to God, I did. I really did. And he has a real sense of humor. You have to have one when you're in a condition that like that. And we've never told him he was crippled, so he's never acted like it. Oh, you're such a cripple. He'll sit in this wheelchair. Hey, he'll never walk if he does that. You have to draw a line and be tough sometimes. Okay? Faith isn't always the easiest path. We like the easiest path, the shortest path. God loves zigzags. You know what Ziklag was? It was the mountain city that the Philistines gave David. Ziklag means a winding, twisting path. A difficult, winding, twisting path. Of course, it had to burn because once you're finished with your winding, twisting path, you go to the throne. That was David's path after he took the goods back from the Amalekites. Now, it's a story I can't get into, but go look it up. You have to sometimes walk a winding, difficult, twisting path until you settle in yourself. Call for the ephod. I'm going after it all. Yeah. David determined that when men spoke of stoning him. The elders begin to come out. The men of Manasseh begin to come to find him. Manasseh means God has caused me to forget my sorrows. Manasseh will come get you. The elders will come get you. And you wind up sitting on the throne of Israel and you didn't know even how you got there. You just refuse to quit when all men speak of stoning you. You have to have an expectation. I won't charge anything extra for that. That's another seminar itself. Listen. Isaac played in the water for the rest of the rainy season and everything while the river flowed. Then the river stops flowing when the rain stops, and the Caribbean comes in and intrudes about 10 miles inland. We were about 9 miles, 8 miles inland. And so we've got the Caribbean in our front yard. Maravilloso. You can actually see the bottom of the river from the barge. And Isaac one day marches up and goes, "Daddy?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I can swim now. I don't need my life vest or the rope." I said, "Is that right?" He said, "That's right." I said, "Let's go see." We went down and he didn't take his life vest and we put him on the edge of the barge. The river has no beach. It goes straight down on both sides. So you're 12 feet deep when you jump off the barge. No grace. You either swim or you don't, honey. And we all got in the water, you know, around him so that when he jumped in, he'd have a lot of angels there. You know, Dad, a number of other guys, his brothers. He jumped in. I was underwater waiting on him because I wanted to see his face, see if he panicked or not. So I was underwater. The other guys were on top. He jumped in, and he looked at me, opened his eyes like that. He looked at me, and he smiled. Underwater. He smiled at me with his eyes open. He bobbed up to the top and took off. Took off like a fish. He had an expectation, see, because I told him, "You're going to swim." And he so trusted Daddy's word that as soon as he got the confidence, "Cast away not therefore your confidence, it has great recompense of reward. After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For he who promises faithful." And so he took off, swims like a fish. no problem swimming at all. Goes where he wants to go, flies on airplanes, and, you know, he's wonderful. Had we reacted differently, he would be dead today.
Amen.
Okay? God's Word built an expectation in me, and when it was the worst it could possibly be, against hope, we believed in hope. Our faith connected in action, and we began to say no to the circumstances. And here we are today, and 29 years later, with a son of honor who loves God. And he's single, by the way. He's looking for his wife. So you have a test to pass before you get to him. Amen. I'm not so ugly. I'm really not. Ignore the circumstances. Romans 4, 16 through 22. F-A-I-T-H, find a promise, ask, ignore the circumstances, thank God before you see the answer. T, thank God before you see the answer. Faith believes when it prays, not when it sees. Have faith in God, Jesus said in Mark 11, 23. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Thou shalt say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in thine heart, but believe that God is, believe the things you saith. Let's go read that. I just fouled that totally up. That wasn't according to my expectation or my hope. Amen. When in doubt, read the scripture. Now I'm having more fun than you are. You guys need to lighten up, all right? I'm looking for, this is Mark 11. Let's look at 22. I'll read the whole thing. Don't just cherry pick a scripture. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. And if you would look over at Philippians 4 with me, we're going to stop and do this. I'm feeling to do this. Philippians 4. I actually do have Philippians in my Bible. My Bible fell apart and I glued it back together again and somehow got it wrong. So my... I haven't been doing this but 37 years, okay? That's the truth, too, by the way. Oh, goodness. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice! Let your gentleness, your graciousness, your forbearance be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But with prayer, say prayer. And supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why? Because we have somebody that cares for us. You were not created with the ability to handle worry or care. You were created in the image of God, and that is a ruling authority in the earth. That's why I say no matter what your circumstances are, you have to learn to rule there. Cry through it if you have to. Have a nervous breakdown, don't do that. I'm kidding about that. But at whatever you're going through, you're going to have to lock your heart. The Bible says that faith and hope are the anchors of the soul. And if you don't want your mind to drift, you have to lock it onto something that cannot be moved. And the Word of the Lord cannot be moved. Your circumstances will change if you be patient. And you'll smile a lot, drive the devil nuts. Y'all think warfare is standing around a room yelling at devils. I wish you'd quit. Warfare is going out into the fight and taking the fight to the enemy. How do you do that? You do that here and you do that here. Your mind is the battleground. Your heart is the power. The throne of authority rests in here, and the Ark of the Covenant that lives within you. And at some point in the middle of it, you got to stand up and say, looks like we're all about to die, but I'm going to be happy anyway. I'm going to rule anyway. Amen. Greatest miracle I ever saw in Pakistan. Thank God before you see the answer. I was in Pakistan out in the middle of nowhere. I'm not really sure why they took me out there. It was just God. I would not have chosen to go out there. It was in the middle of nowhere out up against the mountains by Afghanistan where Osama is. And at night, they have lights they generate, no electricity or running water or toilets, or I'm familiar with those conditions. And they dig a hole for the generator, put something on top of it like a carpet, and they take an old blown out building and scrape everything around until you can actually stand in it. They mound dirt up, that becomes the platform. They lay a beautiful carpet like this. These carpets are so expensive here. Over there, they use them for flooring out in the desert. And they put all the stuff up, put all the speakers up, these huge bright lights put you out in the middle of the field. The sun goes down and the field fills up with, you can't even number the people. And there's no way to tell where they came from. They just appear in the dark after the sun goes down. And all you can see is what the lights allow you to see, but they can all see you. And it gets a little nervous because I'm white. And I'm not just white, I'm really white. You know, I shine in the dark white. And it's not my fault. Amen. It is, however, where I have to rule. Okay? And so going to other cultures is a lot of fun. You just have to rule there through humility. Amen. And so I'm standing up there in front of gobs of people, and you can see eyes from time to time. They all look exactly like you imagine. They all have the Arabic dress on. Guys are coming up in camels with sheikhs and headdresses, and I got adopted into the tribe, and they fixed a feast and wouldn't let me eat it because they were afraid the food would kill me. So the feast was in my honor, but I couldn't eat the food. Go figure. Preaching time came, and you get up, and they've done their version of worship, and you're up there and the lights come on and you're standing up there looking at this ocean of people and you just preach. You do exactly what you're doing here. You just give them what you have in your heart. Yes. Amen. Just exactly like you did just a little while ago. You just stand up, take a breath and go, you just give it to them, you know. Just give it to them. And the interpreters interpret and Jesus moves, and an hour and a half later, you know, everybody wants prayer, so you're out in the middle of this crowd praying for people. Only you've seen too many movies, and while you're praying, you're imagining the red dot on your forehead somewhere from a sniper who's a Shiite Muslim who feels you've broken Sharia law, and they're there to kill you because the minute you touch an Islamic girl or a woman, you've broken Sharia law, and they'll kill you and oppress everybody else for it. So Jesus said, lay hands on them.
That's right.
Oh, my God. And you can hear it rumbling, and you can hear your voice echoing through the caves, all through the villages and valleys, and you're sitting there going, what am I supposed to do about this? Well, you do exactly what you're sent for, because your life isn't your own.
That's right.
We are already dead. Yeah. That's the theory anyway. We're already dead. I've already given my life up for Jesus. I already allowed him to destroy me. My body and my old man is buried with him in the waters of baptism. I've been raised up and seated together with him, and I can never die. You can never kill me.
Amen.
You can't kill me. You send me to heaven, make my day. I mean, I had people point guns at me, and that'll make you rethink your theology. It looks this big around, and it's, you know, but it, and you want to tell them, go ahead, pump, make my day. Send me to heaven. What a tragedy, you know, but we do have responsibilities. We're not out acting foolishly. We're out doing the will of the Lord, an apostolic, prophetic Christian outreach ministry. You're going to have times, amen? And in those times, you have to see something different than what your head sees. Your heart has to see clearly because your head may go, ah, help, get me out of here. What am I doing? Your head may go, blah, but your heart has to go, oh, wonderful Jesus. Calm it down. Drop back a little bit. Draw in your presence of the Lord. Act in your faith. Get out there on the water, and you just go through the crowd. Now, some of them are Christians, but a lot of them are not. And they brought this little Muslim girl up who was out at night without her father or an escort, and that'll get you killed. And she's got the burqa on all the way down. She's walking with a crutch, and you could tell down on her sandaled feet she had gauze and blood, and oh, geez, it was a mess. And they bring her up. They tell me her story a little bit. She's been she's been subject to Islamic witchcraft out in these villages, and when she was two or three, through witchcraft and a number of other things, they inserted pins, or needles actually, all through her flesh, pushed them down in her flesh, and through the power of witchcraft, her flesh absorbed it, and they channeled along her bones. And she's got x-rays. She's had 27 major operations after she got a little older, trying to get rid of them surgically. She cannot. They take an x-ray, take her to the operating table on the spot in the x-ray room, change her over, cut her open, and there's nothing there. But they can see it on x-ray. It's somewhere else. And she screams. She's in agony. And they were telling me the story, and I'm thinking, I've heard of this, but I've never seen it. I've heard of it, but I've never seen it. And would you pray for her? I'm thinking, oh, God. And so I knelt down in the crowd, you know. I kind of knelt down in the crowd because no one can see you. And I put my hand on her real gently on her sandal, and Jesus spoke to me. He said, "Sweet, will you stand up?" "Yes, sir." "Put your hands on her and pray." "Yes, sir." And you're waiting for the, you know, you still see the telescopic sight and the little, you know, and your heart has to go, "Oh, shut up." And you have to have an adventure with it. You can't let it stop you. That's what I'm talking about, ruling in your circumstances. All they can do is take your physical life. I'm not even going to talk about the need to go to jail. There's coming a time where you're going to need to stand up for what you believe in this country, and you're going to need to go to jail. Now, I'm not going to get over on that because everybody gets depressed, all right? It's glory. They gloried God that they were worthy to be counted worthy to suffer for His sake. At some point, this nation's going to have to stand up and stop the slide. And to do that, it's going to take collective voices. And it's not going to be a matter of president. It's not going to be a matter of party. It's not going to be a matter of race. It's not going to be a matter of creed. It's going to be a matter of saving the life of this nation. If you never have a Christian president, who cares? You can have a godly society because you say so. Okay, that's enough. That's the end of my political message for the night, okay? But it's coming. It's coming to this country in Jesus' name. So smile a lot, drive the devil crazy, and enjoy it when it does. Start practicing for it now by being bold as a lion. Start opening your mouth. Start taking, I'm still preaching on it, Jeff, by taking your stand and be public about it. If they put you in jail, Vaughn will get you out. I'll come get you out. Of course, I'm in Africa, so better pray hard that I appear, amen? Anyway, what was I talking about?
Young girl,
thank you. And she, I put my hands on her head. I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything. There was no huge motion. It didn't, you know, the wind didn't ripple through the crowd. The fire didn't fall. But that's outward signs of an inward happening anyway. It was happening in the spirit even though they weren't responding to it. And she just went home. I prayed for everybody else that night. It was a long meeting. And after the meeting, I was sitting up in the front with the brothers that brought me a Bishop Javed Albert's group out of Faisalabad, Pakistan. She came up with her Christians and said, "Our sister would like to say thanks." And she put her hand out. And I looked at her hand and I went, they cut your hand off for things like that. So I just got her hand and said, "God bless you, sister," you know, and let her go. And then a few days later, we were in Denpasar, Bali, at a Bible school there in Denpasar. We were about to go to East Timor and have a conference there. And we were moving all around Indonesia in those days. Really interesting. And Javed Albert, Bishop Albert, called me on the phone. And he said, "Brother Jeff." I said, "Yeah, brother, how you doing?" He goes, "Wonderful, brother." He goes, "You prayed for a girl at the meeting the other night out in the wilderness." I said, "Yeah." "She's a little Muslim girl." He said, "Yeah, her leg was bleeding." He said, "Yeah." He said, "She just left my house." Now, he's got a castle of concrete and steel with mazes and chambers and hallways that don't have anywhere they go. You have to know how to get around the house. You get lost. Got armed guards. You're with armed guards all the time with AK-47s and shotguns and pistols and knives that long. And you're with these guys because it's a dangerous place. So this girl had told her entire family. See, she got well. She went to the doctor, had x-rays. She's well. No more bleeding. No more pain. No more cutting, no more surgery. She's well. I don't know how that happened. I'm not a surgeon. I can't explain it. All I know is that the just live by their faith. She came in faith. I went in faith. We connected in the faith of the presence and will of God. See, God has faith.
And he knows how to get you where you need to be. So you have all these little meetings all the time. You bump into people every day. You're in contact with strangers and grief and need every single day. And you have the answer, but we're quiet. And we need to begin to learn to be sensitive, not crazy. I'm not talking about slobbering and acting like you're insane. Jesus will heal you! Ah! You know, to the poor girl behind the counter in a... I mean, give me a break. Jesus didn't do that. Listen, faith is real. I'm a real person. Amen?
Amen.
Say, hey, honey, when's the last time somebody told you Jesus loves you and smile? Said, did you know God has a plan for your life and it's wonderful? Is there anything in your life I could pray for you about right now? Are you all right? Then you listen for the word of the Lord, because He'll give you a word of knowledge. He'll give you a word of wisdom. And you'll start knowing things about them, and you smile at them. You say, well, could I pray for you about da-da-da-da-da? And they go, how did you know that? And you go, well, Jesus loves you, man. He's right here. The Spirit of the Lord is right here. The Spirit of the Lord is witnessing His heart to you as we speak. We love you. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you if you need prayer. Simple. Simple. Opens the door. Or they tell you right up front, you can go to hell on a grease pole. I don't ever want to talk to you again. And you know it's not their time. That doesn't mean God's mad at them, so don't you be mad at them. Just walk off, say thank you. No problem. God bless you. Smile. Smile a lot. Learn to smile. And you turn around and you walk off, because you're a dignitary in the kingdom. You represent as an ambassador the greatest kingdom. You are a spokesman for the greatest king in the universe. That's who you are. A public spokesman. Don't matter where you're from, what your socioeconomic situation is. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter. Nothing matters about that. It's who you are in here. What do you see? Amen. So you begin to be thankful. Jesus prayed. He said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. And I'm only praying this prayer out loud so that they'll know that you sent me. See, he lived a life of thanksgiving and prayer alone, in secret. And when he went out into public, he demonstrated his relationship with Jesus. It wasn't a great big faith. He lived a natural life of faith, and he doubted not. I'll show you simple faith today. All you guys walked in here this morning. I was watching, and you sat right down in your chair. Not a one of you got underneath it and looked to see if it holds you up, or if the bolts were right, or if the seat was right, or... Not a one of you got under it to make sure. See, you had faith in something through an expectation. You expect the chair to hold you up. Isn't that simple? It's the same way with finances. What happens if the money doesn't come? Rule anyway. It's going to come. It may not come on your timing. It may not come and do what you want it to do. You still have to rule. Because I'm a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. That means I'm winning a fight. I have won a fight in Jesus' name. So my attitude is right. I'm smiling. See me smile? Do you need anything? Uh-huh. But not from you. I need to hear from heaven. I need you to hear from heaven. And you just enjoy your life. That's faith. Faith has an expectation, therefore faith walks. Faith has an expectation of the future. So you walk in line to obtain what you have been obtained for, to possess what you have been possessed for. You're not trying to do anything you weren't created to do, and you're not trying to act any way you weren't created to act. And people say, well, if I act that way when I feel so bad, I'm a hypocrite. No, it's quite the opposite. But you got to get it by your spirit, okay? Or you'll miss this. To thank God before you see the answer requires that you possess something you can't put your hands on. It's possessed in heart. It's possessed in soul. It's possessed... Everything in you possesses something. So you can say, thank you, Jesus. But what if I don't feel like it? Well, your feelings are part of your soul. Your faith is part of everything, okay? I don't want to break that down, get off into spirit, soul, and body. We get lost. But one thing I'll tell you is that you were created by God with His fullness on the inside. He establishes the principles for how we think, move, and have our being. To not do that is hypocrisy. You are born again. You are saved. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you act according to who you are in here, you are walking in the truth. When you act according to the world's manipulation, you are not walking in the truth. And even though you may feel like you're lying to yourself, you are walking in truth when you believe what God says and do what He says, even though your mind goes, ah, that's not me, I'm acting it. No, you're not. You're walking by faith. and not by sight.
Yes.
So that you can be who you're called to be without apology or regret to your brain. My heart is the one that rules. My heart is the one that's born again. My soul is being conformed to the Word of God. The Word of God says it. I believe it. That settles it. However, what do you do when the facts don't line up with what you believe? Well, you endure. You rule. You continue to walk. You continue to stay in the Spirit. And God will change the facts. Because when faith is being applied, the facts aren't the issue. The truth is the issue. The Word of the Lord is the truth. Jesus is the truth. His Word is truth. How many scriptures do we need? His Word is what's real in life. We're looking at invisible things clearly by faith. We see them clearly by faith. I see my healing. I see my deliverance. I see my finances. I see the anointing. I see open doors. I see the way to go because I'm focused and I'm walking by faith in God's Word, expecting until His enemies become His footstool. And that's my job. That's your job, to bring His enemies to their knees. And if you watch your own life and you take care for your own life too much and you're all tangled up in your circumstances and situations, you will not be able to see what He sees. And unless you see what He sees, you can't do what He does. Hypocrisy is not acting according to what the Scripture says, even when you don't feel like it. Hypocrisy is being Jesus. It's doing the Word of the Lord, even when you don't feel like it. That's faith. T, thank God, before you see the answer. F-A-I-T-H. What's H? Hold on, brother. Hold on, it's going to get wild. We told the doctors over Isaac, we said, you know, we thank you for your opinions and your ministry to us. We thank you for taking care of him physically. We know you love him. We know you're concerned about him. They wanted us to sign him over to the state so we could go on with our lives. That's American selfishness. That's just human selfishness. It just is prevalent in some nations. Living for yourself, that's all abortion is. It's offering your children to the god Molech. It's the same absolute spirit of idolatry, offering your children up to idols of the world, only now it's not some golden bull with a fire in his belly that you lay your kid on the plate and he roasts to death in front of you. That was Baal. That was Molech. Now it's down to where I have a choice. Smile at the preacher. Now it's down to what's best for my life. I'll sacrifice another life according to what's best for my life because it's really only tissue. Really, then what's moving in your belly? Well, you know, until he actually exits the womb, he's not a child. All that philosophy will stand before the Lord and go to hell. Hello?
Yeah.
Well, that went over well. Now, see, you have to practice. You have to make this practical. You have to bring this into your life, okay? This isn't just good preaching. This is how you live. It's how you think about everything. Sign my boy over to the state. My God. Never see him again. Be separated from him for months. Best case scenario, separated for 6 months at a time so they can do all their little experiments on him and carve on him. And then I get him back at six. He's a vegetable and he's been in pain all his life. No wonder they want you to sign him over to the state. They want him. That's the truth. I have one. I've been there. So you smile and say, we appreciate your opinion, but we don't believe that. And they looked at us and said, we believe in Jesus' name. By his stripes, he'll be healed. Let's pray. And I reached out and grabbed all the doctors, or I grabbed the nurse by the hand. Everybody bowed their head. And I think they were expecting this to be a, you know, cut the piece of four ways prayer. You'll get it in a minute. And go home and listen to the tape. It'll come to you. But, you know, our Father, I said, Father, in Jesus' name, heal my son. And I just begin, my spirit began to pray. You know, you're not trying to put on a show. It's just coming out of you. And it came out until it wasn't there to come out anymore. And I opened my eyes, and the only person left in the room was the little girl whose hand I held. Everybody else is gone. That's all right. That's all right. Well, that's a weird religious guy. No, that's a guy that has a 29-year-old miracle. Okay? That's a miracle. Now, thank God. I didn't know what to do. We were out on the water. I didn't know everything I know today. I hadn't seen everything I've seen today. I was 29 years old. I didn't have a doctorate in theology or a master's or a bachelor's or all these years of experience in the field praying for people. I was terrified. There was no great faith in the room or anything. I had an expectation in here. And when I stepped out to receive that expectation, power came. People are waiting for power to come before they step. The actual truth is that as you step, as you preach, the Word will follow you. The Lord worked with them, confirming the Word with signs following in the book of Acts. There's a Word that needs to be spoken. And as soon as you speak that, that's faith. As soon as you speak in faith, your heart is prepared to make motion in that direction. Everything comes along behind, and the power is there, and the miracles are there, even when you don't feel it. Especially when you don't feel it. Because that's faith. That's faith. And over the years, you learn when not to pray. Jesus didn't raise everybody from the dead. He didn't heal everybody. He left some for the apostles and disciples in the first century. Like the guy at the beautiful gate. Guy at the gate, beautiful. Jesus went to the temple all the time. He walked past the guy all the time. The guy didn't follow him into the wilderness. The guy didn't cry out like Bartimaeus. Jesus responds to faith. Bartimaeus cried out. The man at the beautiful gate did not. Bartimaeus got something. The man at the beautiful gate didn't. All you had to do to qualify for healing was go to Jesus. He turned nobody down. His attitude was, heal all if you come. Feed them all if you come. Matthew 15, the guys that got fed were men that had followed him 3 days up into the mountains without food. Men and women with their children needing to go potty, needing to eat, needing to do all of the things that thousands of people need to do without facilities, running water, or the ease of modern world, followed him 3 days into the wilderness. And the apostles came and said, send them away. Let them go eat. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And then Jesus fed them. You know, Jesus is saying that to us tonight. You give them something to eat. And then he did a remarkable thing. He broke the bread. He gave it to the disciples. And the disciples gave it to the multitudes. Okay. Now Jesus is breaking bread this morning, giving it to the disciples.
Jesus,
I'm putting it in your hands. And I'm putting it in your head. And I'm putting it in your heart. Now you go feed the multitudes.
Yes,
that's not my job. That's your job.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, there's a difference between disciples and congregants. Would that I had time. Jesus in Matthew 5 saw the multitudes. Go home, study it yourself. It's on the tape. It says, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, turned, went up to a mountain and sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he taught them, saying, blessed are you. Matthew 8, 1. They came down from the mountain, and the multitudes were waiting on them. The Sermon on the Mount was not given from a low little hill in Galilee, although it was by Galilee. The Sermon on the Mount was given to a certain number of people who had their eyes on him, who when they saw him leave the multitudes, went up into the mountain, and he sat down, and they said in themselves, what is he doing? And they followed him at their own cost and their own expense, and they sat with him, and he taught them, saying. Huh? Sermon on the Mount, he teaches parables to the multitudes. Then he dismisses the multitudes. Mark 4, around 10 or 11, you'll find that when Jesus was alone, those around him with the apostles or the disciples came to him and asked him a question. Who were these people around him with the disciples if Jesus was alone? And how did these people with the apostles and the disciples get in the room? And why didn't they go with the crowd when Jesus dismissed the crowd? Because there is something about the heart of a disciple that will not be dismissed when everybody else is.
Amen.
I'm going for the top. I will not be left out. I will not be passed over. In Jesus' name, if God is doing something in the earth, I may not be the doer of it, but I'm going to be with those that are the doers. I'm going to associate with those that are doing, not complaining. I'm going to partner with those that are seeing something instead of what the earth sees. Oh, hallelujah! I told you I preach 9-hour meetings, okay? Listen, God loves you so much. And He has an expectation for this part of New York. And you live here. You are the Daniels and the Josephs that have been sent here. And it may be hard and it may be uncomfortable and there may be controversy and there may be political stress and strife. There may be all kind of problems, but you are the kingdom seed that are planted in this earth and you must blossom. You must come to harvest. You must come to a place where you ignore the circumstances, where you find the promises and you live within the promises, where you ask boldly and you get out on the water and you refuse to quit even when you sink. He still walked back to the boat.
That's right.
Everybody gets on Peter. Yeah, Peter's faith failed. No, he didn't. He had a problem with the storm. He got his eyes on the circumstances, and he took his eyes off Jesus. As soon as he turned his eyes back on Jesus, he walked back to the boat and got in. Whether he sank or he didn't sink, he's still a whole lot further from all those other guys who stayed in that boat. And you know those guys were brothers and cousins and friends, and you know they kidded one another all their life. I got out of the boat, you wouldn't do it, na 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 na. You know? Have fun with me here. Don't get so sober and serious. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about refusing to be dismissed. What dismisses you? People of faith, do not be dismissed. Does sin dismiss you? Has sin discouraged and dismissed you? I don't go to church anymore. I'm discouraged. I got in trouble. Well, did you repent? Well, yeah. Well, then what are you doing feeling sorry for yourself? Get up. Get up. Welcome to resurrection. Get up. Get up. You don't play with three balls, man. You play to you win. There's no three strikes and you're out. Smile at the preacher. He's preaching better than you're smiling. What dismisses you? A divorce? That's hard. That's the hardest thing in the world. It's terrible. Yeah, get up. People drive through the rearview mirror. That's not faith. They try to go forward looking in the past all the time. That's not faith. And you can't go forward looking in the past. Faith looks ahead. Amen. The guys that baptized me read me Romans 6 and said, you're a new creation and something, I got it. Something about it, I got it. I got it. Something went in me, I got it. I was living in a drug house playing guitar with a band at the time. We won't go into the details. I had nowhere else to go. Sleep under a bridge, I'm not going to do that. And I got it. And he told me I was raised from the dead and I got it. He told me I was reconciled with God and I got it. Something in me got it. He told me nothing I ever did would ever be remembered, and I got it. Yes. Something, wow! He told me I had a life to come, and I got it. Something in me got it. When my friends all came to do an intervention with me, they did too. Girlfriends, band members, college buddies all came to do an intervention with me. Now we know you. We've known you for years. You're a radical. It's true, and you and all that was basically factual. It just wasn't the truth. The truth was I was dead. And I smiled at them, honest to God. You've got to take this to the street. All it is church. You've got to take it to the street. And I smiled at them and I said, well, you're wrong in a couple of areas. I said, first of all, you don't know me. You've never met me before. Yeah, you should have seen their faces. They gnashed upon me with their teeth, you know. And then they said, what was the next thing? I told them, I said, you've never met me before. The guy you used to know is dead and buried in the waters at Jim Hornsby swimming pool downtown. Amen. And I went on and on for a few minutes, and all of them got up and left. And a lot of them have gotten saved over the years. Some of them I've never seen again. It was a long time ago, but you know, I got something. No one's going to take it away from you. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Hebrews 10, what, 31? Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. You have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For he who cometh will come and shall not tarry, but the just shall live.